This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to Thursday's Solo. I might record this one in two sections. And you know what? I might use this strategy moving forward because I just want to like catch up in the first half. And then I want the second half to be very informative and topical, you know, whatever topic I choose to discuss that day. I think this week will be menopause, perimenopause, and hormones. I've been doing some research and making some notes. So there you go. That's like where I'm my happiest, right? Is taking notes, learning, reading things, and taking notes. This is why I was in school for so long, because I love it. And again, this seems to be a reoccurring thing that happens is I ate a massive cookie right before I started recording this. And now my mouth, like the saliva in my mouth won't stop producing. It's like it still thinks there's cookie in my mouth. And so now I'm going to be clearing my throat and having a mouthful of saliva. But anyways, this is just what happens. So this is the little catch-up portion of the solo episode. I wanted to ask if anybody out there listening is reading our book club book. Okay, if you go to dtr.bookclub on Instagram, I believe that is our name, we have a book club. And this month, or this 6 or 7 weeks, because we don't do it every month, I mean, who has the time? We are reading one of my picks. It's my turn to pick a book. And I picked How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. It is the memoir of Jenna Jameson. I read it years ago. I don't know if I already explained this to you guys, but I bought the book for my friend as a gift. I believe she wanted that book. And I'm like, okay, like weird. She must have heard that it was amazing. So I get her the book and I opened up the cover, start reading the chapters, like start reading chapter one, just, you know, like, what's this about? You know, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. What's this about? So I could not put the book down and I finished the entire thing before I even gave it to her as a gift. So I've always thought about that book. Whenever people are like, oh, what are some really good books that you've read? I always say Jenna Jameson's memoir. Now I'm gonna burp. Oh my God. Like, Renee, you're an animal. So anywho, I was really trying to be strategic. We've had a lot of, well, every single person has picked a fiction book so far. And I was like, I want to do something different. And so there were a few memoirs that I was choosing between. It was Jenna Jameson's. There's also a memoir that I haven't read yet called Uppercut. And it's by a hairstylist that was hairstylist to the stars, like throughout the 60s and 70s and whatnot. And apparently that memoir is really, really good. So it's always been on my list of things to read. But I went with the spicier book, you know, and her life, obviously it gets into her life as a porn star and like how that whole industry used to work. I don't know if it still does today, but very, very interesting. And it's a page turner. She struggled with addiction. Like, she had childhood things happen and relationships with her parents. And like, it's just so good. And you sit there and think to yourself, oh my God, I cannot believe some people's lives, you know, blows your mind. So anyways, I wanted to bring that to your attention because I'm hoping that lots of people read the book, because when we do our meeting, we go live for every book that we read and we ask each other questions and discuss the book. And I think it's going to be such a crazy meeting for this book. And I cannot wait. It should be either at the end of May or very early June. That will be when we meet. So you have lots of time to read the book. Second book that I'm reading right now. Okay, so I haven't actually started the Jenna Jameson one yet, but I know once I start it, I won't be able to stop and I'll finish it quickly. The nonfiction book, because remember, that was one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read more nonfiction books because I love reading nonfiction books, but only during the day. I don't want to read them before bed because it's not relaxing and I like to make notes and be a nerd. So right now I'm reading The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. I know you guys are all like, oh my God, would you stop talking about this? But it really is mind-blowing and it really makes you think. And this huge shift happened in everybody's lives and we never really stopped to think about how it would affect teens and children. And it's wild. And I know things are going to change so drastically any day now. Frickin' the guy was just talking to Oprah, okay? Did you see on his Instagram? If you follow him on Instagram, he just filmed something with Oprah and I cannot wait to watch it. Anyways, I just finished chapter 4 of his book last night and That is part one and part two of the book. And so what I was thinking to do is I make notes as I read, and I'm going to go through all my notes and construct like a little solo episode giving my thoughts and just explaining what the book is explaining, have a little conversation about it. And that will be on the Patreon. At some point, I'm probably going to try and record it this week, and then I'll just put it up as soon as it's done. I will either do it by myself, or I'll try and get somebody to come on to talk about these things with me. Maybe Liza, my sister, maybe Alex from This Family Tree, because I was just on her podcast talking about this same topic. So look out for that. It is patreon.com/themomroom. And what I decided for the structure of the Patreon, obviously there's like a group chat, you can direct message me and I'll get the message right away, as opposed to Instagram, where it's literally like a sea of direct messages, like a sea. I cannot keep up with it. I can't keep up with my own shit, guys. Like, I am on the verge of burnout. Like, sometimes I just stop and I'm like, what am I doing? Go live on a beach and sell seashells by the seashore. Like, what are you doing? Anyways, that's a different topic that I wanted to talk about. But what I'm going to do is continue to do these little like book talks. So as I read nonfictions, I find things really interesting, I'm going to do almost like a chat on the Patreon about those books. There's obviously the vlogs, which are my bread and butter. Like, I think I was meant to be a vlogger, and it's too bad I'm not like this major YouTuber that vlogs. But anyways, the vlogs are great. Right now we have up Disneyland, an LA vlog, Vancouver vlog, my husband and I getting ready for a fancy event vlog, NoahCon vlog, and they're just gonna keep coming, especially in the summertime, because I'll probably spend lots of time with my sister and just doing crazy things. So the vlogs are happening all the time. And then I think what I'm gonna do is I had envisioned doing live streams regularly, but I did not, and this is a problem with me, I never consider time zones ever. I'm the worst. And I didn't realize everybody is in different time zones, so live streams don't really work, you know, like nobody's gonna show up. So what I'm gonna do is switch that to be a Monday solo episode. So every single Monday you will get a solo episode on the Patreon. And what I discovered recently is that you can listen to those episodes as if it's a podcast. Like, I played a Patreon episode through my car system and listened to it in the car, which is really, really helpful because I listen to podcasts in the car. So that is what the structure of the Patreon will be. I believe it's $5.99 a month USD, which, I mean, you're getting a weekly solo episode, exclusive vlog content, which I don't share on social media because it's weird. So yeah, and book talks. I think that's one of the most valuable pieces is, you know, going over all this content that I want to consume and like curate really informative, entertaining content that I'm consuming as well. This past weekend, I watched Quiet on Set, which everybody has been talking about for so long. And I was always under the impression that it wasn't being shown in Canada. Turns out it's on Discovery Plus, and I watched the entire thing beginning to end without, I think they have two follow-up episodes at the end. I did not watch those, but OMG, it was four episodes, beginning to finish, couch potato, watch the whole thing. I was shocked, so shocked that this, like, you would think you would hear about something like this happening a long ass time ago. No, this was like 2005, 2010, like not that long ago. And the whole thing was about Nickelodeon specifically. And I would be curious to see documentaries about other child's, what do you call them? Like networks, you know? My note here says WTF, basically. When they talked about Amanda Bynes, to see all the footage of her as a child broke my heart. I know her from the movie She's the Man. I loved that movie so much. I still reference that movie. Rub some dirt in it, you know? Loved. She was so talented. Could have taken over the world. So, so, so talented. And to see where she is now, we don't even know. Obviously, she was not a part of the documentary. She never shared her story. I would absolutely love one day, similar to Britney Spears. I mean, Britney wrote her book. I haven't read it yet. But it's like, I just want these people to sit down with somebody and just fucking tell us everything. Like, what happened? My husband and I both turn the big 40 next year, and we have been thinking a lot about our long-term health. We want to get smarter about our health, make better choices, but also not feel overwhelmed trying to separate fact from fiction. There is so much information out there, and it can be hard to figure out what applies to you, what is right, and what is wrong. Well, let me introduce you to the Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast. With the help of world-leading scientists, they help you make smarter health choices every week. Don't just take my word for it. Naomi's Apple review says Zoe Science and Nutrition is super easy to consume even if you don't understand the science. With loads of actionable tips, a great mix of guests, and interesting cutting-edge science. You can't go wrong with a weekly podcast where world-leading scientists explain how their own research could improve your health. If you're ready to join millions of others like Naomi transforming their health, then search for Zoe Science and Nutrition wherever you listen to podcasts. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of The Mom Room and providing me with samples. You know how a lot of people can't leave the house without a water bottle? It's like their emotional support water bottle. I am the exact same way with facial tissues. And that is because I have such bad allergies, specifically in my sinuses, to the point where I know I'm going to have to blow my nose multiple times in a day, and I cannot be out in public without my emotional support facial tissues. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Now I know if I have a big event, maybe I'm going to a concert, going out for dinner, I don't want to be blowing my nose every 2 seconds. It's very unbecoming. And so I will take Claritin D and enjoy my evening. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. If you're like me, then the bane of your existence is thinking about what to feed your children, prepping food, going to the grocery store, all of the above. Who has the time? We are all so busy, and it's important to incorporate things into our life that keep our life as simple and convenient as possible. Little Spoon is one way to do just that. They deliver fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kid will love at every eating stage they are in. The baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. They partner with Clean Label Project to test their blends for 400+ contaminants, including heavy metals, so you know you're getting good stuff. The Biteables are finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding, and they are healthy, balanced, and free of artificial junk. The Little Spoon plates are toddler and big kid meals that are free of junk and they taste amazing. Even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. They also offer really fun things like puffs, they have smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. You quite literally never have to think about food again. It's just easy peasy. And did I mention this all comes right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, you are going to love it, and your kids are going to love it. It is just a huge win for your family. Simplify your kids' mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order. It's interesting just how that happened to her. And then I had heard of the show Drake and Josh, but I never watched it. And I'm a huge fan of Josh Peck just from his Vine days. Do you guys remember the app Vine? It was like a little TikTok kind of. Anyways, I loved him. Like, he's hilarious. I love his podcast now that he has now called The Good Guys. So I've followed him along, but I never really watched Drake and Josh. So I've only ever really heard of Drake Bell. Like, I didn't know much about him, but I know he kind of went off the rails and wasn't doing well. And I just assumed, like, oh yeah, some child actors or children in the entertainment industry don't turn out well. Look at Amanda Bynes, look at Aaron Carter. You know, it's like this thing that is a reoccurring thing that people tend not to question. You know, like, well, what the fuck happened? Like, what is going on? Do they not have strong parental support? How is this happening? So anyways, one of the books that I also want to read is Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mother Died, or I'm Glad My Mom Died, because she's another child actor who was in the entertainment industry, and I don't really know what happened to her, but I know she's very open about her experience and what that was like. Anywho, the Drake Bell of it all was so hard to watch, and I felt so much for him, but also for his dad. His dad was like the sweetest soul in the world. He knew exactly what was going on. He was warning everybody, but then as things end up happening, and you can imagine this happening so easily, where the child is literally making a ton of money and the parents now don't feel like they can parent their child. As soon as they get to be like 13, 14, they're starting to rebel. Their parents are trying to put boundaries in place, and the kids are like, fuck you. Like, I'm making all the money. I'm paying for the fucking house. Like, you know what I mean? It must be such an interesting dynamic. And I don't know how, when they start to get into the teenage years, how parents manage that. You're still our child. You're 14, 15 years old. Because what happened with Drake Bell is his dad was his manager and making sure everything was good, like finances, but also how he was being treated on set, how people were around him. And he started to get very leery about this one guy that was always on set. He was one of the staff members there and pretty high up. And ultimately, Drake Bell turned on his dad and was like, I don't want you being my manager anymore. Somebody else took over everything. And his dad was basically pushed out of his life. And then that is when bad things started to happen. And it was so upsetting. And this is a spoiler alert, but how the hell, I was shocked beyond belief to see the things that were in the lawsuit against the guy, and then to hear that he did 16 months in jail. I was like, 16 months? Like, what did he do? Roll a stop sign? Like, 16 months in jail for absolutely destroying a child? My mind could not comprehend that. I had to rewind it and look at the text and be like, is this actually what happened? Not only that, 16 months in jail, which is like, oh, a nice little vacation, go rest your head. He gets out, goes to work on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. What? How? My mind, like, I can't even comprehend this. Where is he now? Like, did anybody look up where he is now? Let me just do a quick little Google Rooney. Like, I'm sure after this documentary came out, he's like nowhere to be found. Sentenced to 16 months in prison. So he is a registered sex offender. Okay, so yeah, he went and worked on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. He was doing voiceover things, but was later fired after they found out about his conviction. Well, thank God. Good for you, Disney. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm just so upset about this. It doesn't say where he is now, but I'm assuming he's nowhere. So anyways, the whole thing was just nuts, and I highly recommend you watch it if you're interested in that. It's very interesting. The other thing that I'm reading right now, this is my fiction book that I read before bed, is The Magnificent Lives of Marjorie Post. And what is so funny, I had no idea. First of all, Claudia just recommended this book. She was like, 5 stars, it's amazing. I'm like, great, I'm done the book that I was reading and I need another fiction book. First of all, I don't even know if it's fiction. Let me see what it says. Magnificent Lives of Marjorie Post, a novel. Okay, so it's a biographical novel. Marjorie narrates her life from the time she was gluing cereal boxes for her dad's company in her father's barn to her final moments. So it goes through her entire life, which is wild. Before she turned 30 years old, she became the wealthiest woman in America. This novel also chronicles her 4 disastrous marriages. So she is the daughter of the guy that created Post, like Post cereals. Oh my God, now I'm so curious to know if this is true. But anyways, I was listening to a episode of Armchair Anonymous, and it was the one that's about cults. And the girl, she was talking about her family being a part of this cult that was run by like the Kellogg guy, the guy that ran Kellogg's. So John Harvey Kellogg was a Seventh-day Adventist who lived in Battle Creek. And so that is where this Magnificent Lives of Marjorie Post book starts, is in Battle Creek, because this Kellogg guy founded the Battle Creek San sanitarium where he, as a physician, would see patients and try and bring them back to health with his foods and whatnot. And so that is where this book takes place. Her dad, Mr. Post, is sick and they bring him to Dr. Kellogg to get better, but it doesn't work out. And then he gets an idea to start his own like food line and starts Post cereal. And he's the one that created the Grape Nuts cereal. Anyways, my mind is just blown. It's very interesting. So that is the book that I'm reading. It's kind of a true story, but I guess kind of fictional at the same time. I need to know exactly what is true and what is not. But like, who knew that the Kellogg guy was in a cult? I never thought I would be so interested in the people that invented cereal. Do you know what I'm saying? And who knew? Who knew? Maybe you guys know. Maybe you're listening to this too and you're like, oh my God, WTF? I know. Anyways, okay. That is it for this section of the solo episode, and I will be back tomorrow to record the next section. Thanks so much for listening to my little update. Welcome to part two of this week's solo episode. It was supposed to be last week, but then I recorded with Sophie and her book had just come out. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put her episode out on Thursday because it's very timely. We were talking about her book. So that's what I did. And then I moved this solo to this week. So it is Tuesday, what is it? April 30th as I record this. I cannot believe, first of all, that it's the end of April. It's almost summertime. I drive through the neighborhood and all the trees are starting to bloom. There's freaking flowers outside. It makes me so happy. And whenever the trees are fully green, we have so many trees in our neighborhood. I feel like I'm in a fairy tale, like I'm Snow White. We also have bunnies just hopping around our yard. I'm obsessed. Anyways, here we go. You will notice if we cut a clip from this section, you'll notice I'm in my bedroom. And that is because I don't feel like sitting in the basement right now. And I'm also meeting with an interior design team tomorrow to fully redesign the studio so that it looks good on camera. Also, just a little bit of housekeeping. We are going to be relaunching the YouTube page in probably September. That's what I'm aiming for. The episodes are going to look a little bit different. Instead of uploading the full episodes on YouTube, what we're going to do is take two or three key moments from each episode, whether that be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we're going to put those up. And then we're going to create almost like a little library of our YouTube videos. Because if you go on YouTube, you can categorize all your videos. So we're going to have a whole section on sleep. We're going to have a whole section on feeding kids. We're going to have a whole section on postpartum recovery. We're going to do all the different topics so that it's literally like a mom encyclopedia, but video version, if that makes sense. So we are going to go back into some of our most popular episodes. We are going to take the most valuable sections from our most popular episodes, whether that be like on marriage, on attachment, all the good topics. And we are going to put just the creme de la creme of the pieces of the most popular episodes, and we are going to categorize them and put them on YouTube. My studio will be done. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be beautiful. I'll actually be able to use my high quality cameras because I'm going, if I have to hire a goddamn AV person, AV being audio visual, I will. And they can come set up my studio so that everything looks perfect all the time. So get ready, guys, because September, it's going to be a big one, okay? I cannot wait to have just like a professional looking studio. I always try and do things myself, and it's like, yeah, I painted a wall blue, and that's as far as I got, okay? And I can't use my cameras. I don't understand. So I'm looking forward to getting fully set up and taking this shit seriously. You know what I'm saying? So anywho, the second half of this episode, also you guys need to let me know if you like when I talk about the content that I'm consuming, because I love listening to podcasts when they talk about the content that they're consuming. So I just assume that you guys would enjoy the same thing. So in the first part of this episode, I talked about the docuseries that I watched, Quiet on Set, books that I'm reading. And if you want me to keep doing that because I'm trying to read a lot more in my life right now. Let me know and I'll keep you up to date on books and documentaries and whatnot. So this section of the episode is about perimenopause, and I just wanted to get this information out into the world because it has been blowing my mind and I feel like people are starting to talk about it more. But at the same time, I talk to people and they're like, I have not heard of perimenopause until just recently. Like, it's not something that anyone ever talked about. It's not like when I had Milo, my OB was like, oh, okay, you're 35. So in the next few years, you could expect this. Nobody is aware of what the fuck is going on with their bodies. And it drives me nuts. And because I'm learning so much, it's like, I want to talk about it. And I want everybody to know this information. First and foremost, what is perimenopause? Okay, so it's basically, we've all heard of menopause, but even then, nobody talks about it. We don't really know the significance of it. It's like, oh, somebody's having hot flashes, you know? That's like the bulk of the information that we get. That's what we associate menopause to be, is just hot flashes. Well, I got news for you, okay? It's much more than that. So perimenopause is basically the years leading up to menopause, because it's not like all of a sudden you just enter menopause and your hormones are completely out of whack and all these symptoms start appearing, including hot flashes. No, your body is slowly changing. Your hormones are slowly changing over years before you actually hit menopause, which is when you do not get a period for 12 months. So most people for the years leading up to menopause have periods that are like out of whack. Their hormones are out of whack. They're up, they're down, they're all over the place. They have all these other symptoms. But we don't know what's happening. We're just kind of like, oh, this is interesting. I think a lot of people associate it with having children. It's like, oh, I had kids and now all these things are happening. But I also think nowadays, so many of us are having kids later in life that we have our children. And then a couple years later, we start entering perimenopause. And so we're like, oh, it must just be, you know, all these things are changing because I have kids. Like, I'm exhausted all the time. I have fatigue. I have, you know, insomnia. My period are super heavy. Like, that's my experience. And at first I was like, I wonder if it's because I had a child, but no, Milo's 5. And this just started in the last year or so. So I'm starting to piece all the things together. Also, a lot of us were on birth control before we had kids. And so our hormones were perfectly balanced forever because we're taking a pill to literally keep our hormones completely balanced, not fluctuating. So then we go off birth control. We have children where obviously you're experiencing all these things in pregnancy and in early postpartum. And then a few years later, we're experiencing all these things and we assume it's just because we had kids and now we're not on birth control. But no, it's likely perimenopause. So let's go over some of the symptoms. This episode is brought to you by Lola V. Lola V is an award-winning hair care line by none other than Jennifer Aniston. They offer clean, plant-powered products for every hair type and texture. I just did my whole hair care routine with all the products the other night, and I am obsessed. Along with incredible shampoo and conditioner, they have an intensive repair treatment that you can use once a week. They also have a lightweight hair oil. There's a leave-in treatment, and there's also a glossing detangler, which I need because lately I want to do my hair in like a slicked back look, but my hair is too frizzy. Get 15% off Lola V with the code MOMROOM at www.lolav.com/momroom. And Lola V is LOLAVIE. So I saw this Oprah Daily article where they called perimenopause period 2.0, because it's like all these changes happen in our bodies when we start getting our periods. We're going through puberty and it's this major shift that everybody talks about. You know, we learn about it. But then perimenopause, Oprah Daily is calling it period 2.0 because it's the same kind of thing where our hormones are completely shifting and all these things are happening, but nobody talks about it. And we go to our doctors and complain about symptoms that we have. And they're just like, oh, you're fine. Like, you're fine. It's just this. Here, take an antidepressant, you know? So what are some symptoms? Periods are changing. They're either heavier, they're lighter, they're irregular. I don't have the irregular part yet. My period is pretty consistent and on time. And I remember going to see a doctor years ago about all my symptoms, insomnia, raging irritability and moodiness the week before my period, super heavy period. periods. And I remember all she asked was, and this was a young girl too, and I was shocked. She just asked me, do you get a period every month? And I said, yeah. And she goes, okay, so you're fine. I was like, thank you so much for your help. Thank you so much. This was very, I feel great, you know? And she was like, usually what we do is just prescribe people an antidepressant for the week before their period to kind of stabilize their mood. And then I'm assuming for sleep, what, you give people sleeping pills? Why don't we address the fucking problem or talk about perimenopause? So periods are changing. Hot flashes or feeling hotter in general, having night sweats. And remember, all these things don't necessarily have to be consistent, okay? Sometimes I have night sweats one cycle for like a week out of the month. I wake up like soaking wet, but I haven't had that in a long time. Same with really painful cramps or really bad insomnia the week before my period. It's not necessarily consistent. It's like up and down, up and down. So brain fog, heart palpitations. I had heart palpitations at the Blue Jays game that literally stopped me in my tracks. My husband was like, are you okay? I was like clutching my fucking chest. And then all of a sudden it just like stopped. I've had heart palpitations my whole life, but that was intense. And I'm going to start to be aware of if it gets worse and if they become more common. Anxiety, depression, sleep issues, breaking out or dry skin. Most cycles, I don't break out, but I have one massive ass pimple that just shows up somewhere. It's like a cystic acne kind of situation where it's like under the skin, so painful, and then it just like explodes. I am lucky, knock on wood, that it hasn't been anywhere on my face, but I got one on my neck. I got one on the back of my neck. I got one on the back of my shoulder. It's nuts. And I've never had bad skin or acne or pimples ever. And it's like a couple weeks before my period, I have this volcano growing underneath my skin, and then all of a sudden it'll erupt, and then I'm embarrassed, and I'm like, I got freaking wear a turtleneck for 2 weeks because I have this massive pimple somewhere. Anyways, and then one time I got my husband to try and pop it. He always thinks he can pop these things, okay? He's a surgeon. He is so interested in things like this, and he's like, here, let me pop it. But he is used to working on people who are under anesthetic, and that is very obvious when he tries to pop a pimple. So don't ever let my husband pop a pimple of yours. The last time he did it, I was literally scarred for life. I screamed like we were in a fight. I got mad. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, don't ever do that to me again. Like, I was so mad. Anyways, moodiness, irritability, that was so me. And honestly, just learning about your cycle, knowing where you're at in your cycle can be a huge help for moodiness and irritability. You know, taking more time to rest, to relax, to do things that you enjoy, read a book, breathe, you know? So often we're not even fucking breathing properly. We're like taking shallow breaths all day, every day. So our body thinks we're under attack all day. This is probably contributing to my constipation issues as well. My naturopath a few years ago, I remember her saying, your body literally thinks it's being attacked by a bear all day. Cause like, that's how I function. I'm like, dun, 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 like go, 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 go. Shallow breaths. And then when you go to yoga and they make you breathe deep, it's like you can barely do it. I'm like, I don't even know how to breathe. But it's so important. So if you're aware of where you're at in your cycle, you can kind of chill. Like maybe one day you go to bed a little bit early, or you pick up a book and just take time for yourself. It really does make the world of a difference when you start to make these little tiny changes. And they don't have to be huge. Today I'm meeting with Miranda to go over all my stuff, and I've really been slacking on a lot of the things that we talked about. Like, I haven't been taking any supplements at all. I don't know why. I just like am resistant to that at the moment. I haven't been doing my ginger turmeric water in the morning. I've been just having coffee when I wake up, and I always want to focus so much on the negative things that I'm doing. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, I suck. I'm the worst. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a list before I meet with her of the things that I have been doing really well, because just doing those things as good as I can and being mindful about it have really helped. So instead of focusing on the negative and thinking that I'm a loser and I'm, you know, I can't do anything, I'm like, no, I could work on some things for sure. And some things I'm doing really well at. So it's not all or nothing. It's not you need to do all these things or else you suck and you're a failure. It's like, no, just learn about all these things that can help, see what works for you, do your best, be mindful, try and track your cycle, understand what's going on. And that, like, just that is life changing. Okay, so worsening PMS symptoms is also a symptom. So bloating, breast tenderness, cravings, mood swings, and then vaginal dryness. So a lot of people are like, oh, I want to go get my hormones tested, but it is very difficult and somewhat impossible to test for because hormones are constantly fluctuating. You know, you can get like a baseline of some things, but when it comes to cortisol, like think about it, within a 24-hour period, it's like going up, down, up, down. It's hard to test for those. I also think physicians, at least in Canada, are hesitant to send you for these really in-depth hormone screening things because they're not necessarily concerned about you just being off or like a little bit high or a little bit low on a hormone because they can't do anything with that. To them, that's not important information. So unless it's something that they can treat after the fact, why are they going to send you to get tested and use up resources in the healthcare system for nothing? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like one time I went to the doctor because I wanted to see if I was allergic to alcohol because sometimes I drink alcohol and I will wake up in the middle of the night with completely blocked sinuses, cannot get a stitch of air through my nostrils. And I was like, I just want to be tested to see if I'm allergic to alcohol. And he was like, well, do you drink right now? I said, like, sometimes. And he's like, so what do you do when you drink? I said, I just take an allergy medicine and then I'm fine. He's like, okay, so just keep doing that. Like, why am I going to send you to get tested to see if you're allergic? You're not going to change anything. Taking an allergy medicine clearly works for you. So leave my office, please. So anyways, it's like the same kind of thing. Perimenopause. Oh, this is interesting. So it is recommended that you ask your mom and your grandma when they hit menopause, I guess. And it's like, I don't even know when my mom went into menopause. No clue. Actually, I don't know if it applies to my mom because I think she had a hysterectomy. But anyways, so does that put you into early menopause? See, even that's interesting. Like, I'm so curious. But yeah, nobody talks about it. Do you know when your mom went into menopause or your grandma? Like, do you know when you should expect to go into it? The average age of menopause is 51. So I'll be 40 next year, but it can be between age 40 and 58 when you hit menopause. And perimenopause can last 4 to 8 years. Okay, so there you are. If the average age of menopause is 51 and perimenopause can last 4 to 8 years, then typically in your late 30s, early 40s is when you start to enter perimenopause. I was reading about bioidentical hormones. Like, I really want to learn about this. So I need a professional person, like an expert in perimenopause, in hormones, to come on the podcast because there's so much information out there and I just want to know, you know? I know when you take hormones orally, it goes through your liver, which is not a good thing. I think, again, like, don't quote me on this. It's just what I've heard, what I've read. But nowadays you can get bioidentical hormones, which means your body recognizes it because it's the same as the hormones that are already in our body. And you can apply them as a cream as opposed to taking them orally. So I would love to learn more about this. If I can like put a little cream on myself and feel better and just feel like $1 million, oh my God, let's do it. There is a TikTok account that I highly recommend if you want to learn more about all these things. So it's called The Pause Life and it's Dr. Mary Claire. She's an OBGYN menopause specialist and she has a new book out called The Pause Life, which I need to get my hands on. I just saw on Instagram, I think today, that she was recently on the Drew Barrymore show. She was on, I think, Good Morning America, all the things. So very excited that some, like, this is coming into mainstream. Like, she's going on all these talk shows. She has this book that's going to be very, very popular if it's not already insanely popular. And she has a wildly popular TikTok account. We need this information out there. We need to be educated because nobody else is teaching us. Nobody else is teaching us. They're just kind of like, do you get your period every month? Okay, you're fine. Like, thank you. So anywho, Anywho, the point of this episode was just to spill my guts on this topic, what I've experienced, what I've been learning, and I just wanted to get this information out there, and hopefully maybe I can get Dr. Mary Claire to come on the podcast and explain all this stuff to us and talk to us about bioidentical hormones. How do we get them? Like, how do you know what to take? Who do you go see? I'm just so interested. And I honestly feel like in 50 years from now, everyone, once you reach a certain age, is going to be taking bioidentical hormones and just having such a better quality of life. I truly believe this. I'll always remember Dax Shepard on Armchair Expert talking about taking testosterone. And somebody was like, oh, it'll shorten your lifespan by like 5 years or something. And he was like, okay, that's fine. Because the life that I am going to have, my quality of life, how I feel, is going to be through the roof. So I'll take the 5 year hit, you know? And that was with testosterone, which might be completely different, but it just made me think about that a little bit, you know? Because menopause and perimenopause, it really, really affects us. So the more we learn, the more people are talking about it, the better, the more options there will be for us down the road to just feel like a million bucks. So that is my little rant on this topic. Hope you guys enjoyed and stay tuned next week. We got exciting episodes coming up. And yeah, YouTube will, for the most part, be down until September, but it's gonna come back better than ever, baby. And the video quality, I am determined. Like, this is turning into a professional podcast. So tell your friends, okay? So that's it, guys. Thank you so much for following on Instagram. We hit 200,000 followers. Oh my God, like, this is getting serious. I feel like that guy on Napoleon Dynamite when he's like, this is getting pretty serious. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe. And follow us on YouTube because September is gonna come quick, okay? Bubbles is barking downstairs, so I gotta go. I will see you next week.